My guest at this time is Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King. He's a Republican who represents the Hawkeye State's 4th Congressional District. He's a member of the House Judiciary Committee, and he is one of the leading voices in the House in opposition to the Senate version of immigration reform. Of course, last week, the Senate easily approved its version of immigration reform, the Gang of Eight bill, and now it's the House's turn to decide what to do, if anything, on this issue. Some have said that doing anything will allow the Senate Democrats to get their way on this. Others have said that the Republicans could get a much better bill through conference if they pass a stronger bill of their own through the House. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks a lot for having me on, Greg.
Well, obviously the biggest complaint that I know that you and others have had about the Senate bill, even after the border security amendment, is that there's still the preliminary legalization, even though there would have to be certain border security provisions in place before green cards and ultimately citizenship, there's that initial legalization. Explain why that's a complete non-starter from your perspective.
Well, if you grant legal status and on the promise of enforcement, let's say border security and interior enforcement of immigration law, then you get what we've received every time we've done this, going back as far as 1986. A promise of enforcement in exchange for legalization now has always turned into legalization and no enforcement. It's kind of like the equivalent of, we'll take tax cuts or tax increases if we get spending cuts. Well, you always get the tax increases and you never get the spending cuts if that's the deal that you make. Ronald Reagan did accept the argument that they made to him in 1986. He was honest. He called it the Amnesty Act. He signed it. It went from 1 million people that were supposed to be legalized to 3 million people that were legalized. And it eroded the rule of law. And now we've actually had 6 or 7 minor amnesties since then. And here we are with a huge one that essentially says that if you came to America, well, other than if you committed a felony or 3 misdemeanors, other than that, if you came to America by any means, if you got here by overstaying your visa, if you snuck into the United States across the border, and you did so before the last day of 2011, you get to stay. And that's essentially automatic. They're not going to back up on that. Once they legalize, they will not reverse on that. And it is a path to citizenship. And so that means that once they legalize, they don't have any reason to enforce the law. They don't need new laws in order to control the border and do interior enforcement. All they had to do was enforce the law and show us they were going to. And if they had, I'd be ready to have a discussion about the people that are here illegally. They have not, they will not, and there's no reason to grant legalization on a promise of enforcement. Go do the enforcement, not just promise you're going to mow the lawn before you get the keys to dad's car, but go actually and mow the lawn, and then we'll talk about whether you've earned the keys to the car or not.
We're talking with Iowa Congressman Steve King. And, sir, if in fact that preliminary legalization were to be taken off the table and we would start with the border security amendment as it exists in the Senate, would that be acceptable to you? I know others have said there's still too much in the bill about the discretion of the Secretary of Homeland Security, for example, on whether the border is in fact secured. What's your sense on the amendment itself and whether, if you took away that preliminary legalization, that would be satisfactory to you?
Well, if I thought that we could pass a bill that would tighten up our border security and tighten up our interior enforcement and give, say, local law enforcement the tools to enforce immigration law, then it would be effective. I could be supportive of that, but that's not going to happen. And I'm worried that it becomes a vehicle that ends up putting the Senate amnesty language into a conference report, stripping out the enforcement or just simply gutting it, and any enforcement I've seen doesn't have any teeth in it as far as border security is concerned. And then we end up with amnesty and no border security again. So, yes, I could support something like that, but imagine if the House passed enforcement, border enforcement and interior security, and sent that over to the Senate, Harry Reid is not going to take that up. They have said, Chuck Schumer said, citizenship has to be part of the deal. It's not going to go to the president's desk, so why would the House take up anything if there's no prospect that we're going to improve the immigration situation, just the prospect that they're going to jam amnesty on it? And by the way, it is about it's about documenting undocumented Democrats. Jay Leno was right. That's why every Democrat supports this, and that's why Republicans should step back and wonder why it is that Chuck Schumer and Barack Obama are trying to help the political futures of Republicans. They are not.
So just to repeat again for our listeners, you believe that the House should not pass a bill because anything they do send to conference would end up with what you consider amnesty in the final version, and so there's no way that coming out of a conference you could get a bill that you would like.
We're better off not to pass a bill out of the House because we leave ourselves vulnerable. Plus, we don't accomplish anything that's good. So I don't want to bring anything through the House. I don't want to do that until we have at least a Republican majority in the United States Senate again and probably a president in the White House that has respect for his own oath of office.
Congressman, there's obviously been a lot of speculation about Speaker Boehner on this. At certain points, he said that immigration reform is his top priority this year. At other times, he has said that he will not bring forward the Senate bill at all, and he won't bring forward anything that does not have a majority of Republican support. Then, at a press conference, he was a little bit noncommittal on whether that would still be the case on a conference report. So where do you think your own party's leadership is on this right now, and how much pressure is on it from outside forces and some members of your own party?
Well, John Boehner's language has gotten better. Over the last 3 weeks or so, he's taken steps towards making a pledge that, you know, the Hastert rule, which says that no bill comes to the floor that doesn't have the majority of House Republican support. But when you get into, well, what about allowing an amendment that doesn't have, what about a conference report that doesn't have, his language has not been as clear. And I can say it clearly without having to sit down and think about it. If I were making this call, and I'm not, it would be, there will be no immigration legislation come to the floor, no amendment allowed, and no conference report allowed that doesn't have, at a minimum, a majority support of House Republicans. That's what I would say. I don't have to study it. It's clear. And I would hopefully we'll be able to hear that from our leadership sometime in the next week or two.
What do you think will happen?
I know that we are going to have a conference meeting on immigration. It'll be closed doors, members only, and we will have a chance in engaging discussion on immigration. Out of that will come some direction for our leadership. I'm hopeful that enough members will stand up and say, we're not going to get enforcement with this president. I'm not going to vote to support anything that legalizes because it's a path to citizenship, and I'm not going to vote to expand legal immigration. Because once you do that, there's no place to stop. Let's get it under control first. I hope that's what we do, but there's nothing good that's going to come out of a bipartisan agreement when you have the other side that gets such a political benefit from this. That isn't an objective evaluation of public policy. So I hope we do nothing. I don't know. Maybe it's going to be the other way. Maybe we have to fight this out one step at a time, and it's possible that this could come to a real crisis.
What do you make of those who are almost always on your side on other issues? I'm thinking of the Chamber of Commerce, very pro-business. Congressman Paul Ryan, obviously last year's running mate for Mitt Romney, admired widely by many conservatives, very much in the Marco Rubio camp on this issue. What do you say to them? What do you think they're missing in this debate from your perspective?
One thing is they do not either study, remember, or accept the real history of this. And that's the 86 Amnesty Act. And then they want to deny that the Senate bill is amnesty. And Paul Ryan has said he'll debate anyone who thinks this is amnesty. He says it's not. Well, I've defined amnesty long ago, and I'd be happy to have that debate. I don't know how they come to that conclusion and call themselves conservatives. First of all, the Rector report shows that it's a net cost to the taxpayers of $6.3 trillion. And so however they – here's what I think is likely the case. You know, very smart people, and these are smart people. Marco Rubio is a smart, impersonable man, and I personally like him. The same is true with Paul Ryan, exactly the same. If they start with a flawed premise, the smartest of people will still end up with the wrong conclusion. And the flawed premise is that there's an economic benefit to legalization and that there's a political benefit to Republicans to legalization. Neither one of those are true. In fact, it's the exact opposite in multiples. And so that's... Their premise is wrong, and then all the rest of the smart thinking on it, it gets to the wrong conclusion. It's a necessary result of having the wrong premise to begin with.
Last question before we let you go. You mentioned that you also believe it's a very flawed premise when it comes to embracing the Senate version of immigration reform or anything close to it as a way to attract Republican votes. You say the opposite will happen. Explain that.
Well, any of the polling that you want to look at will show that. This is highly concentration legalization of Hispanics. That's not been any secret to anybody. And so then the establishment Republicans will say, Hispanics are natural Republicans because they're pro-life, they're pro-marriage, they're pro-free enterprise. Well, that's true of many of those that I know. And it's easy to accept that unless you look at the polling data, which shows the exact opposite. That you'll see that Hispanics are more likely to be pro-choice than they are pro-life. They're more likely to be a pro-gay marriage than they are pro-traditional marriage, more so than the balance of the populace. I think both those numbers run about 60-40 or 3-2. And when you get down to asking the question, are they for more or less government, more government services or less, that runs to about 75% of Hispanics want more government services, which means more taxes and less personal responsibility. So each one of those polling characteristics indicate Democrats, not Republicans. And so I would just remind my Republican friends, if you're going to change their mind about pro-life, pro-marriage, pro-free enterprise, less government, more personal responsibility, that's a worthy endeavor because the country will get better the more people that adopt that. But you aren't going to be able to get there because Democrats are masters at identity politics, the politics of victimization. They've sold that with tens of millions of dollars. And it seems as though my Republican friends have completely missed that point. They think that Mitt Romney's statement, self-deport, was the reason that Republican support from Hispanics went from 31% under John McCain's campaign down to 27% under Romney. I say it had little or nothing to do with that. It had almost everything to do with the demagoguery of people who are spending tens of millions calling Republicans racist. That had an effect or they wouldn't have spent the money. They know what they're doing, however wrong it is, Greg.
Congressman, a vigorous debate within the party and between the parties coming up. In the meantime, have a fabulous 4th of July holiday. Enjoy that time with your family and your constituents.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll celebrate the birth of our great nation and do our best to save it together, Greg. Thank you.
Iowa Congressman Steve King represents his state's 4th Congressional District, member of the House Judiciary Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.